how do you get started? How would you advise a person that just graduated, or maybe even perhaps she's a younger self, as to what to do with your life when you find yourself being 21, 22, 23, and the whole wide world, and now you're not being told what to do? It's up to you now.
Yeah, it's a very good question, a hard question. In my case, I just followed the line of least resistance, if you like. I was good at physics. I was good at actually everything at school, but physics I was good at. I wasn't a top mathematician at school. I had friends who were better mathematicians. But I just did what was easy. And getting into Imperial College, as I say, was very easy. It was the second best place to go from Cambridge or Oxford. And so I just went with the flow. Getting the job was luck. Luckily, they came interviewing at the university, which was not common in those days. I remember quite clearly the interview I had. It was fairly formal, and I didn't know after that they were going to offer me a job or not, but they did. I took another interview too with Philips. Philips had sent some interviewers from Holland, very dry guys, and I quickly decided I didn't want to go and work for Philips. So, it was a line of least resistance. I got this job offer. It was prestigious, paid next to nothing, but it was perfectly fine for me. And one thing led to another. What it led to, actually, was two things. First, I got interested in computers, even though I was not a programmer. Programmers at that time were lower forms of life than physicists.
Yeah.
So I would write the equations and go and discuss with the programmer. So I saw Ferranti Mercury computer, which used paper tape. You had to repeat the problem twice if you wanted to be sure, or three times if the results were different the first two times. This sort of thing. So I saw IBM come in. This was a computer where you didn't have paper tape. You didn't have to run the problem twice. It was very reliable. But it was also the center of a big social, rather frightening atmosphere that we were the physicists, but we couldn't go into the computer center. We couldn't. It was a sort of a private thing. I had a programmer friend. This is a nice story. At that time, we were very young and carefree. And I don't know if you ever heard of what is called a football pool. It's betting on football matches. And so there were several companies. I remember one was called Vernon's. I forgot what the other one was called. And you would fill out your form by matches. You know, a match was like a penny or something to bet on it. People would just fill out 20 lines. And if one of the lines won, you'd get some money back.
Mm-hmm.
So one of us had this idea, it wasn't me, that we could do this by computer. And I had the idea that we should not have any system trying to guess the true results. What we should do is use random selections, because if it was a random thing, it was much more likely to win when nobody else did. Because if there was some logic to using the better teams, then more people would win. So my idea was, let's do it randomly. So my friend wrote a program, and every week it would print out thousands of, we would enter in thousands of matches. We had a little syndicate of six or eight guys, and the company agreed to take our paper listings and process them. It was all done by hand.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And if we won, we were going to win big. Well, I think we won two or three times and we won barely nothing. But it was fun. Every Monday morning, we would all go and we would press our noses against the glass outside the business. And our friend would go in, print out, run a little program to do the checking and everything. And we'd know if we'd won or not. So that was my first introduction to a computer being fun. And it was an IBM. So that was in Risley, near Warrington, in England, there where I lived. And that was one of the social aspects of computing that I remember from that time.